Truth, Charlie.
Truth is for suckers, Johnny Boy.
Words.
The world needs a wake-up call.
Plant the seeds.
All the answers to anything you've ever wondered about.
Start the thoughts.
Unveil the truth.
Figuring out these mysteries that we didn't even know existed in the first place.
And begin a revolution.
Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you...
Dangerous Conversation. With your host, Scott Ledger.
I'm just a man trying to make his mark on history.
On Bubba Army Radio.
Does the government work for us, or do we work for the government? Is the best government really the one that governs the least? Can we ever have a government that stays within the confines of the Constitution? If the Constitution was written to keep the government off the people's backs, why is the government all over us? Tonight, whatever happened to freedom? Understanding where we go from here should start with understanding how we got here. We are the free and independent people of the United States of America. We are free because those who preceded us fought a war against a person who was then the world's grandest king and who presided over what was then the world's grandest empire. The founding fathers risked, as they like to tell us, their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honors for the freedom and independence they won and we have inherited. But they were not saints. And initially, their cause was not popular. From the records available today, the people who measure historical trends have concluded that in 1776, only about one-third of Americans supported the revolution. About one-third of Americans opposed it. And about one-third of them didn't care. When I first looked at these numbers, I thought, in 1776, this was the grandest fight for the greatest amount of freedom for the most people at any point in history. So who could possibly oppose it? And who in their right mind could not care? Fast forward to today and ask, who could possibly support a government that regulates everything from the strength of the water pressure in your shower to the size of the toilet bowl in your home to the thickness of the leather in your shoes? Who could want a government that punishes people for speech, that lets its own agents write their own search warrants, that fights wars just to keep the military-industrial complex busy, that debases all you own by printing worthless money and putting it into the stream of commerce, that gives away more than half the tax dollars it collects, and that, despite express provisions in the Constitution to the contrary, permits the president to lock up whoever he wants and to throw away the key? Perhaps the colonists who didn't care if they freely chose their government or were cared for by a benevolent tyrant had an odd way of knowing what was coming. Perhaps those who opposed the revolution were afraid to take on the king, to challenge authority, and to risk their comfortable lives for the unknown. Well, we all know what happened. A relatively small part of the population pushed the culture and society toward freedom. And the freedoms that they chose were pure. I mean, after we won the revolution and wrote the Constitution, the new government and the political class assured all Americans that they could think as they wished and say what they thought and publish what they said, that they could associate or not associate with anyone. They could worship as they chose or choose not to worship. They could defend themselves with guns even against tyrants. That troops would never enter their homes, that only neutral judges would issue search warrants, and that the government could not take their lives, their freedom, or their property without a trial, at which their fault would be proven in front of a neutral jury. All this was guaranteed to the first generation of Americans and to their posterity. That would be us. Because much of it had been denied them by the king and the parliament, and because Americans came to believe, even the one-third that were afraid and the one-third that didn't care, that these rights are ours by virtue of our humanity. Whether you believe that we are the highest order of natural selection, or whether you believe, as I do, that we were created by God in his image and likeness, you know in your heart that these natural yearnings, as St. Thomas Aquinas and Thomas Jefferson called them, are our natural rights, are a part of our humanity, and cannot long be denied us. And yet, they have been denied. The same founding fathers who wrote that Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech, in fact, enacted the Alien and Sedition Acts, which punished speech that was critical of them, critical of the government. This happened because people were afraid to challenge the tyranny of the majority. America, the greatest losses to our freedom have come not from someone attacking us, but from the government ignoring the Constitution and the majority letting them get away with it. The worst amendments to the Constitution were not those ratified by the states, but rather were amendments by consensus, where all three branches of government agreed to look the other way. When good people do nothing, bad things happen. So what shall we do? We should challenge authority, no matter who is in charge. We should challenge the majority whenever it curtails anybody's freedom. We should side with freedom no matter what the government says. We should vote out of office those who push the government outside the Constitution, no matter what earmarks they just brought home. And we should make the government afraid of us. Afraid of us. Because as Jefferson reminded us, when the people fear the government, there is tyranny. But when the government fears the people, there is liberty. From New York, defending freedom, everybody's freedom, whenever I can. So long, America.
Batman is out of a job. Meanwhile, Anderson Cooper is covering Whitney Houston's funeral on CNN. Is that bullshit or is it just me?
I don't get reminiscent over crackheads.
Man, oh man, oh man.
Well, I'm sorry, crack enthusiasts.
That's a different story, but point I'm making is Judge Napolitano kicked off the air by Fox News. I wanted to play that farewell speech again because he's not going to get to say that anywhere unless, of course, he does something on his own or becomes part of a different network. But do you see any mainstream media network hiring him?
No, he wants liberty. That's the last thing they want.
Yeah, God forbid.
And I think he should have said so much more. There was so much more that needed to be said about the goodbye.
You only had 5 minutes. Oh, yeah, he wasn't allowed to. Yeah, I'm sure that's, you know, when you sign a contract and they say, see ya.
It's your last show.
You're not allowed to talk about why. Otherwise, you don't get your payments. Because whatever that contract, I'm sure.
They gave him a package, I'm sure.
They're still going to pay him, especially if they decide to pull him. But the moment you start getting on the air on your last show and bitching about it, they're going to have their lawyers all over your shit.
And you wonder why him and Lou Dobbs both were there on Fox Business.
Yeah. Well, Lou Dobbs was on
CNN.
Mm-hmm. And Stelly, you know, he started actually mentioning Bilderberger. He started mentioning the Amero as a new currency. He started talking about the NAU. He started mentioning New World Order. And see you later.
So it's funny when you think about people like Tucker Carlson, people that are
I know what you mean.
That are in mainstream media.
Yeah.
And then you see ones that actually do speak about the things that we talk about and speak about here on Dangerous Conversation. Mm-hmm. We see how they get fucked every time.
They move you aside, man. It's like, you know, you're sitting on the side of the road and just a big old plow truck comes up and goes, get out of here. Boom. See you later. Bye. We need another stooge. We need more puppets. Put a call up for puppets. By the way, welcome to the show. My name is Ledge. This is Dangerous Conversation, Thursday night. Brad Friedman of Brad Blog on the way in about 6-7 minutes. A half hour after that, we'll be joined by what we would call the bizarro Brad Friedman. He would be the opposite of Superman. His name is Mark Morano, and he's what they call a denier. You know, they always call you deniers, man, you know.
Truther, denier, whatever.
Then they lump you in with Elvis, of course, and the Holocaust. you think I'm kidding. Rob, am I kidding?
No, not at all.
The moment you deny anything your government tells you, and it's you go against the grain, they will lump you in. When they'll call you a
They will smear you the
yes,
worst.
Yes, they okay? will.
Like Marilyn Manson said, they can lift you up like the sweetest angel, but then on the other side, they can tear you down like a whore.
That's right. Rick's in the other room working on dropping in the new intro that Frank worked diligently on for Brad. I think Brad will like. Did you hear last night we played it?
Yes, I did.
We played a couple times.
Excellent.
What were you doing, by the way? We were trying to predict what you guys were doing when you weren't on the show.
I was actually doing my taxes while I was listening to you.
We thought you were at Wing House.
We had you at Wing House joking a waitress or something.
No, I was doing my taxes and listening to Dangerous Conversation.
Okay, wow. I'm not even going to bet, dude.
Did
you throw some masturbation in there just to spice it up a little?
No, believe
me. Me in taxes? Are you kidding?
I was already fucked by the government. That's all the steps I could take in a night.
Yeah, so, it was Frank's really learning that editor. He's downloaded his own little software. He does it on his laptop, and he's starting to get it. You know, have some fun with it, jerk around with it, and I think Brad will like it. What do you think, Rick? I think he'll like it.
Oh, yeah, I definitely think he'll like it.
He did a great job.
Yeah, and we picked a song that Brad wanted anyway, so.
Yeah, he should be happy.
That'll work. And, of course, Brad actually has a partner that works with him on his Green Report. And her name is Desi Doyen, spelled D-E-S-I-D-O-Y-E-N, and they do the Green News Report together. You can follow her on Twitter, by the way, at Green News Report. You can follow Brad Friedman at The Brad Blog. It is bradblog.com if you're going to the website, but on Twitter, it's The Brad Blog. But, yeah, Desi will join us. And this is, you know, I didn't plan this. I swear to God, I didn't plan this. Started going back and forth with him a couple days ago about climate change. And, you know, he's going to bring his argument, whatever.
I was reading that.
It was cool. It was fun. It was fun. I was sitting there, you know, watching some basketball, and I was just having some fun.
You know how hard it was not to chime in? You know, you're talking about biting your tongue. I had to bite my thumbs.
And, you know, the whole idea that he has his own opinion, and he comes in with Desi. The only person in this room that really kind of had his back when we started talking about it was Stefan.
Yep.
Now, did I ask Stefan not to be here tonight? I got to be official here.
No. Okay.
You set this all up, Brad. Come on.
Brad thinks I'm setting up a big fucking ambush.
No.
We knew last week you wouldn't be here tonight.
Well, first of all, we still believe in 80% of what he's saying.
I believe in global warming. I don't believe it's 100% man-made. I think it's maybe 20 to 30 or maybe 40% man-made, depending on the afforestation and all the things we've... I'm not arguing that. The problem is that most people on the other side, and I'll let them speak. I don't want to speak for them, but you know what I mean.
I agree with the whole 80-20 thing because if you go to Brad's page right now, one of the very first stories is how Ron Paul got fucked.
Oh, we're, by the way.
So, I mean, obviously, we agree on something here.
Well, actually, we don't, because remember the last couple of times that Ron Paul supporters were complaining about caucus and vote tallying, he was like, oh, here come the Ron Paul people. Yeah. And now suddenly the Ron Paul people are right.
Well, at least Brad's reporting on
that. Yeah,
well,
Brad's on our side.
He's not twisting it around.
No, but it's
he's
a big story.
It like it is.
It's been across the news. I've actually found it on two or three different blogs and newspapers. So interesting to see. Oh, by the way, the official – this is how it works, man. When there's an issue in counting votes, they're going to meet a month from now. In the great state of Maine, it takes them a month to get back together. No, it literally said – the article I was reading said – The committee to look into this will meet in a month.
Well, yeah, with as many fucking moose as they have, they've got...
it's more about they're hoping Ron Paul runs out of money before that.
Yeah, or it's just going to fizzle somewhere, and because right now it could be a massive lead change. Not massive, but it could be a huge shift in the consciousness of, wait a minute, this guy is, you know, a top two or top three runner.
He really does hit the pulse
of some
of these
voters. So let's look into
voters.
It a month from now.
He raised $1.2 million on Valentine's Day. From the internet alone, a money bomb on the internet where you had to click the button and put how much money you wanted.
So
no super PAC.
He had a shadow link on workthejerk.com.
Yep.
And, all the single voters.
So Frank, dial him up. We'll get him on and Desi. And like I said, in the next half hour, we'll let Mark Morano come in. We'll let Mark talk about what his background is, what he believes and why he believes it should make for some great radio. And since we'll be starting with Mark so late because he's busy right now, there's a real good chance we'll carry Brad through the next hour, at least for about 15, 20 minutes, so we can, because we're not going to spend 15 minutes on climate change and then stop.
No. He's got more than that.
Yeah. And then later on tonight, Miss Tina will be joining us, and we're going to hammer out the final name for Thursday night's sex show. It's already up on the Dangerous Conversation page. She's put a couple of things out there. I know you did. We'll discuss that later on. And, got nasty heartburn. Man, I got nasty heartburn. I don't know what it is. Oh, I know what it was. I ate some blackened shrimp today. Real good, though. God, they went to go. And, of course, tomorrow night, Rick, you ready for a hellacious barbecue?
Yeah, I'm ready, man.
I hope you guys bring your appetites.
Appetites, and don't forget battle shots.
Battle shots.
Oh, my God, I need a driver.
Yep. We're going to be doing it. Yeah, you know what? Every single person coming here is saying that.
I need a
Not
seriously.
Me. I'm staying right up the block in the hotel.
And, okay. And I'm 50 miles north. I need a driver.
Yeah, that's going to be tough on you.
I wonder if Eric's coming down. He's in Orlando, which is kind of like a 45-minute shot.
I mean, how do you know?
I'll pay
him. Eric won't be curled up in the parking lot at 7 in the morning. Yeah, you know, we don't know. I've invited about.
I want to come to the barbecue, but I don't want to get divorced.
I've invited. Yeah.
We are within walking distance of the Ramada, the Marriott, and the Wyndham.
I can't stay at no hotel. No.
And the Waffle House.
And the Waffle House.
The all important Waffle
and
House.
And the
Doll
House.
What's
and
the over under on that?
And,
how many of us are going to be stumbling up to the Waffle House, which is literally within stumbling distance?
Yeah.
See, that's what I'd have to do. I need to sober up. Let's go to the Waffle House. You know,
well,
what?
We're doing the penthouse,
even after
aren't we?
Even after all the barbecue.
Yes.
We're doing the penthouse, aren't we? I thought that was the...
Well,
yeah, that had been thrown around.
I'm coming dressed for success, as they say.
You got the VIP.
I'm actually going to get a haircut and everything, so... Yeah, I'm getting all spiffed up.
Nice.
I used to get those.
You getting your ears lowered and everything?
Oh, man, I hate looking in the mirror in the morning. It's like what's left of the hair is going in like 9 directions. I look like what's it, the Einstein guy? That had that funny song out. What was his name?
Yahoo Serious?
Yahoo Serious, yeah. I look like Yahoo Serious when I wake up in the morning. It's not good. So I got to get most of it trimmed and so it'll look reasonably neat. But coming up in a couple of minutes, we got Brad on the line. Good.
Do we?
Yeah, we do. We got his intros already.
I think we're still trying to find him. He's not. That's not
okay.
Right there just yet.
All right. Wait a minute. By the way, there's a missing mouse here in the building. In case anybody finds a wireless mouse, because I'm stuck using my finger on this pad over here, and I'm literally feeling like the Helen Keller of radio right now. I'm not good at this.
Last night I swore you were gonna get in your truck on the way home and find it sitting on the seat on the but that didn't happen.
Dude, obviously. I looked everywhere. I was like,
because I came in here today, you're still looking for that mouse.
I was looking underneath my truck. I was like, where?
I don't like wireless mice. What is it? Just me? Why do I not a fucking why? Why?
That mouse gave you the shake and bake, son.
Man, I just want a mouse.
Dusted okay? You.
Is that too much to ask? Damn. Hey, what'd you guys think? Go around. We'll go this way. What'd you think of the wonderful gentleman, G.O. Griffin, last night?
Wow. Wow. We touched on it last night, and we both agreed that to have your faculties and to be as sharp as that guy is at his age and to have a sense of humor and to be able to change from top, I envy him. I really do. He was a plethora of information.
Yeah.
I really liked the interview.
He's got some good stuff going on, too. He's still working hard out there to just make people aware. And he and I, and I think you and I agree, I don't know about Rob, but it would be great to have this, you know, the country does a 180 in 2 years, but that's not going to happen.
No.
You got to slow down what's going wrong, and it's like turning that cruise ship. It takes a while to go back around. So, yes.
Look what we got here.
Is that yours? You're donating temporarily?
Yeah.
Well, hang on. No, can I do this surgery? Do I have to shut this off, turn this computer back on so
plug
it'll
and play.
Are you sure?
Yes.
You're sure? You're a tech guy.
It's plug and play.
Don't leave me hanging.
I'm not.
All right, hang on.
Ledge, we ended up getting Brad, too, so we're ready on that.
Okay, hang on. Bam. Yep. Let me see.
I heard it.
Yeah? Where is it? Well, hang on.
Stand by.
Yeah, she ain't doing nothing.
It's installing the drivers. Take a sec.
And that mouse is sitting somewhere laughing his ass off at you.
I'm moving your mouse. It's okay. Oh, we have mouse interaction.
Awesome.
Sweet baby mama. Come on. Oh, it's okay. Good. Very nice. Very nice. By the way, satellite producer Sean Raspatello is hoteling it. So I don't know how many people are actually staying right around here, but I'm sure there's going to be some people crashing with people.
Definitely.
The moment you volunteer that you have a room.
At the Wyndham, nonetheless.
Exactly.
That's fine.
I'm just going to roll in. I'm with Ferris. What room's he in? That's right.
Put that on the Carsley tab.
All right, we ready? We're ready with that intro. Let's bring on one of the great contributors to Dangerous Conversations. Been with us quite a long time now, and he's understanding that we're going to bust his balls a little, and he's doing a great job of doing that back to us. But before we actually bring him on, I want him to hear down the phone lines what Frank has done. Where Frank? Don't be leaving. What are you doing running out of the room? You're running out of the room. Get over here.
I saw the line.
Get over here. Don't worry about that person. They'll call back.
Sorry.
Yeah. All right. You ready to have, see, you've created something. Now the guy you created it for is going to hear it.
I'm ready for my debut with Brad.
There you go. All right. Rock that bitch. Let's do it.
Not Brad.
Brad Friedman of Brad Blog.
Gentlemen, how are you? He has been fired from every goddamn job he ever had. So can I say that I don't give a rat's fucking ass? They make shit up on a daily basis.
Well, there you go.
I will be the moderator or the opponent. Take your pick.
Brad Friedman. You know, it's kind of funny, too, because he warned everybody. He literally tweeted, caution, DC radio is uncensored and R-rated radio. You might want to have added that. You add to that, Brad. Hopefully we didn't drop too many dirty words in your intro.
Oh, is that me? Am I on?
Yeah. Was that too much
for
you?
Oh, hey, guys. How are you? No, I like the dirty words. As a matter of fact, that's, you know, that whole caution thing, that's an old trick. Remember the old Girls Gone Wild?
Mm-hmm.
They used to advertise, go, warning, what you were about to see is, terrible. Well, that's why everybody bought it. So that was my trick on Twitter to get people by tonight.
I love it. I love it. How you been since we talked to you last? Everything going good? Keeping busy? What's up?
Well, it's going okay. Yeah, actually, I've been trying to take, we've been on the road for a little bit, trying to sneak in a few hours off, but not succeeding thanks to the Republican Party up in Maine. This is an amazing story, what is going on up in Maine, where the state GOP has blatantly, out and out, stolen the election in favor of Mitt Romney. And I got to tell you, for folks who know me and who know what I cover at bradblog.com for years, you know, I report on election integrity issues. I have never come right out and said any election was stolen, to my knowledge, until now.
Uh-oh.
And that is the GOP election in Maine.
You're talking election fraud, not voter fraud.
Exactly right. There was no voter fraud here. The voters did fine. As I always caution, leave them alone. It's the people who count the votes, and when they count the votes in secret and then report, whatever the hell they want, having nothing to do with what, you know, the votes actually were, that's the problem that we get. So for all of the liars and frauds and phonies out there, specifically the Republican Party, who is out there trying to keep people from voting, claiming voter fraud is going on while they themselves are actually committing election fraud, actually blatantly stealing elections the way they did up in Maine. It's just appalling. You can add that, by the way, to Mitt Romney's apparent voter fraud. Yes, voter fraud. The current investigation into Newt Gingrich's 1,500 incidents of ballot petition fraud. You can add that to the Indiana Republican Secretary of State, who has been found by a court to have committed himself three cases of voter fraud. And by the way, all of these things that I mentioned, including Maine and the stolen caucuses up there, none of them would have been stopped by the polling place photo ID restrictions that Republicans are trying to put in place, not to stop voter fraud, as they claim, but to keep Democrats from being able to cast their legal vote, period.
You know, I want to backtrack on this a little bit. Let's go with what the mainstream media said was the outcome of that race. And now there were, what, three precincts that were very strong for Ron Paul? Is that how it worked that hadn't reported? Take us back to what we were told and then show me the anomaly.
Yeah, no, there was more than three precincts. I mean, we're talking about three counties whose results were not included in the final results. What happened was on Saturday night, last Saturday night, the hapless dope who is the head of the Maine GOP, his name is Charlie Webster. He needs to be thrown out of office immediately, but he's the head of the state GOP. He came out and announced that Mitt Romney won the caucuses by 194 votes. That's not a lot of votes, 194 votes across the state. Now, here's what he didn't tell the people when he came out and made his much ballyhooed televised announcement. What he didn't mention is the fact that Washington County, the only county which Ron Paul actually won in Maine back in 2008, they ended up postponing their caucuses till this coming Saturday. Okay, so the people across an entire county in Maine, and there's only 16 counties in Maine, people across the entire county of Washington have yet to even cast their votes. Now, it's been said that the guy who heads the Washington County GOP is actually a Mitt Romney supporter. It's been said that they postponed it because of a snowstorm that was supposed to be coming in last Saturday. As it turns out, it never came. As it turns out, the Girl Scouts in Washington County met Saturday without a problem. And yet, they canceled the GOP caucuses, postponed them for a week in that county, and yet the head of the GOP, Charlie Webster, goes out and announces, you know, just straight out comes out and says Mitt Romney won the 2012 Republican caucuses in Maine. This before an entire county even cast any votes at all. Now, add to that several other counties, which if you look at the Maine GOP's results that are still on their website, and of course we link to them at bradblog.com, it shows town after town after town as having zero votes for any candidate at all. Now, one of those towns is a town by the name of Belfast in Waldo County, where the caucus chair there has now come out and said he called the state GOP to make sure they had their numbers, and that they told him that, oh, yeah, we got those numbers, and Mitt Romney won that caucus. He said, no, I'm the caucus chair. I was there. The votes were publicly counted, and Ron Paul won that the town of Belfast. And yet, if you look at the results now on the Republican Party's website, it shows zero votes at all for any candidate whatsoever in Belfast, and dozens of other counties in dozens of other towns and villages in Waldo County, which had held their caucuses a week earlier. Their results are not there at all on this document, this PDF document, a spreadsheet, which shows Ron Paul winning by 194 votes. Now, which shows Mitt Romney winning by 194 votes.
Yeah, it was less than 200 votes.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, you were right. It was less than 200 votes. Yeah.
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 And so would Ron Paul have won if all of those zero votes counties had gotten their results reported, if they had waited for Washington County, which is this coming Saturday, to actually cast their votes? Well, we don't know that. We don't know that Ron Paul would have been the winner. It certainly looks like he would have had a real good shot at it, and it certainly looks like he will have a good shot at it this coming Saturday. But the GOP has said in their announcement, which they posted on their website on Saturday, that those towns that postpone their caucuses will not have the results included in the final results for the state of Maine. Now, explain to me how the hell this happens and it is not a blatantly stolen election. That's what we're talking about here, because I know we've talked about in the past some of the races that have been going on that Paul supporters have been crying fraud but unable to actually show any evidence of it. But here, it is clearly a case of a stolen election, election fraud, I would call it, where the state GOP chairman comes out and announces the winner of caucuses when a whole bunch of people in the state haven't even cast their vote yet. I'm just flabbergasted by this entire thing.
I know. Now, I know they're being attacked. I know that Charlie Webster's being attacked by the GOP. They're actually going after him. The actual party is, you know, you're not the only person outraged. And let's face it, you're a progressive, so you're not even a GOP guy. So it looks like, and I've seen two or three different articles on many different websites today. A lot of people have been posting this, and they have different takes. So some people are on your side of the fence. Some people are actually on the right. Lots of Ron Paul supporters. But it looks like, you know, honestly, bro, this is how I see this. This bubbles to the surface. It's a whole bunch of brouhaha in the media. It makes its way to the mainstream media for a whole day and a half, and then it disappears. Now, are Ron Paul's people expected to file charges? I had heard that they were going to go after him as well. I mean, Ron Paul's people, not the supporters, his actual people.
Yeah, and I don't yet know if they plan to do that. They seem to be indicating, at least they had over the past several days, that they're not going to do that, that they don't care, that they're playing a very specific game, and their game is for delegates, period. Now, there have been other cases over the years, even going back to 2008, where Ron Paul could have come out and challenged the results of an election, would have had every right to, given evidence showing that he got screwed, and he chose not to do so. I can't tell you why. I don't know why. I think in many cases, I know for a fact in many cases that his supporters wanted him to, but he did not do it. Politicians, even guys like Ron Paul, for whatever reason, tend not to want to challenge results. They're afraid of being called conspiracy theorists. They allow their supporters instead to go out and raise hell. The problem is, when candidates themselves don't challenge the results of the election, the media doesn't give a damn. They just go with whatever it is that that either the party, in this case, because these are actually run by the party, or you know the state or whoever it is, reports as the results. They don't challenge the elections, to their shame and discredit. As you know, for years, for example, I've been beating the hell out of John Kerry for not having challenged back in 2004 when he appears to have gotten screwed. He certainly got screwed in the state of Ohio, no question about it, as well as other states. So we don't yet know if they're going to file charges. They damn well should. Charlie Webster needs to be held accountable. And this jackass, Charlie Webster, I should add, has spent months trying to keep students from being able to cast their legal vote at all in the state of Maine.
Out of state,
and he came
yeah.
forward a few yeah. months ago. We yeah. covered it at bradblog.com at the time. He came forward and said he had evidence of hundreds of cases of voter fraud by students, and that he was passing it to the Republican Secretary of State for an investigation. He passed that information to the Republican Secretary of State in Maine, who looked at all of these cases and found no voter fraud whatsoever. This is a scam to try to keep people they don't like from being able to cast their vote. And mind you, because you mentioned you called me progressive, when it comes to elections, I don't give a damn who the candidate is. I don't give a damn who the party is. I, you know, report what the facts are, period. And I've, you know, supported Republicans. I've supported hard right Republicans over the years, from, you know, Joe Miller up in Alaska to Steve Smith, the conservative Supreme Court justice down in Texas. I don't care what party you are. I think that the guy who, you know, or girl who got the most votes ought to be the one to win an election, period. That's what this country is about, ultimately, or at least it should be, and that's what we do at bradblog.com.
That's Brad Friedman. So a little over 8 years your blog's been on. It just celebrated its 8th birthday, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We've been actually since before 2004, but I mean, people really started to pay attention, I think, for the most part, when we were one of the only people to, one of the only news sites to cover what the hell was going on in the 2004 election in Ohio, when the media just decided to move on again because John Kerry chose not to challenge the election. That's what they do. And by the way, that's what they did this time.
Yeah.
If you look at what the news reports were from Saturday night, they all show Mitt Romney won the GOP caucuses. Never mind, you know, evidence for that. And they did the same thing back in Iowa. The Republican chairman out there came out and said Mitt Romney won the Iowa caucuses. And that's what the media ran with. You know, this is not, you don't have to be a rocket scientist or even a climate scientist to understand this stuff. You can look and see who, you know, who won and who lost, who voted and who didn't, whose votes were counted and whose votes weren't. And specifically, you can do that in a caucus where they're voting on paper ballots and they're counting those ballots in front of the people. And in both cases, in both Iowa and in Maine, it's been the fact that they counted the ballots publicly, not by machine, not by optical scan machine, not by a touchscreen voting system, but counted the ballots in front of the people. That's what allows us to hold these guys honest and hold their feet to the fire. And that's why, in the end, Santorum was found to be the actual winner of the Iowa election. And in the end here, depending on what happens this Saturday in Washington County in Maine, If the Ron Paul folks show up, and reportedly they're planning to do so in droves, they can, quote, steal this election back for Ron Paul. The only question is, will the Maine GOP actually count those as the results? But, of course, that's going to be a month from now.
Yeah.
And, you know, the media has already done the damage by repeating the bullshit that the GOP state party has said.
You're like a, you got to call yourself the Dirty Harry of election fraud. Just walk in with a big gun and just point it at people and say, you know what, we're going to decide right here, right now, who won that election. Let me ask you about Romney real quick. This is, what, 4 or 5 straight losses for him now? You know, it looks like this party is consuming itself with its own idiocy, or there is no front runner, or Ron Paul technically is the front runner, but they can't acknowledge him because his version of conservative GOP values does not, you know, not jive with people like the Fed and the military industrial complex and other things. And they say his foreign policy is bullshit. But this has got, you know, Romney's starting to become a secondhand name here.
Well, starting to. I've been predicting for months that that there was very likely to be a brokered convention in Tampa, and that, you know, people were asking me months ago, well, who do you think is going to win the nomination? And, you know, back when there was 8 people or whatever it was still in the race, I was saying, you know, I think there's a very good chance that none of the people currently in the race are going to be the nominee. The fact is, the Republican Party hates every single one of their candidates, and that, by the way, includes Ron Paul. They hate all of them. I mean, this is remarkable that you've got these elections where the guy who was, you know, supposed to be crowned as the inevitable winner, the inevitable nominee, Mitt Romney, can't even seem to win a primary or a caucus anymore, unless they steal it for him.
Yeah.
What the hell is going on in February of an election year? This is something we've never seen, Ledge.
Well, I think we've seen it. We just never realized we were seeing it until now. We have a lot more people watching the watchers, and we have watchers watching the watchers. That's really the redundancy of a good democracy or republic, is having, like you said, people count ballots out in the open. Everything that's done out in the open, I can trust. Everything that's done behind closed doors, it's hard to... You know,
and by the way, let me add, yeah, that almost every single vote cast in this country, and that will be cast on election day in November, will be counted in secret by computers. This is why I've been yelling and screaming about this for years. At the end of the day, whatever the results are that are up being the results, the media has, you know, no skepticism about it. They simply go out and report whatever it is that the election officials tell them. They don't bother to, you know, make sure that the people can actually oversee their own elections. That's how you stop election fraud. That's how you stop even voter fraud, which is incredibly rare. But so that's what this fight, for me at least, has always been about. It is about transparency, because as soon as you put this shit into secret, anything can happen, anything can be stolen, and that is the threat to American democracy. Not this voter fraud nonsense, these people, you know, double voting, dead people voting, Acorn, all of that bullshit that you hear coming from, I'm sorry to say, the Republican Party right now.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's a party in disarray, but let's shift gears. I want to bring in Desi Doyen. Obviously, you know Desi from the Green News Report. You know, you're friends with her, and let's bring her on. Desi, first of all, great to have you on the show. Nice to finally technically meet you, I guess. Welcome to Dangerous Conversation.
Well, thanks, guys. How are you?
Very good. I've heard your voice before because I click on your blog and the report that you and Brad do, so I know your voice and I've seen your picture. But, you know, we're a little bit more of an, I don't know, we're kind of a Wild West radio station now. Sometimes we can get a little spicy on this end. I just hope you understand that coming in.
Totally understand that. Totally cool with that.
All right, good. Now, I know you and Brad are like buds, and you've been knowing each other a long time, and you started doing this Green News Report. And before we bring on Mark and we start talking man-made global warming versus, you know, planetary global warming or whatever the issues are, tell me a little bit about what you're hoping to do with your Green Report. Let's give you a little love here and where people can find it. First, tell me about the Green Report.
Well, it's the Green News Report is what we call it. Yeah. And you can find us on Twitter at Green News Report. And you can listen to the archives of all of our shows at greennews.bradblog.com. And basically what it is I was spending a lot of time reading up on all of this green energy, clean tech. I love this stuff. I'm a total geek or a nerd, depending on which way you look at it. And I just found it so fascinating and interesting. And then while I was looking at that and reading up on that and all these wonderful innovations that are coming down in the pipeline, I started reading about all of the skepticism over climate change and global warming and what's happening and what's right and what's wrong and what do we actually know versus what do we actually not know. And, of course, it's all been so politicized that it's really confusing, I think, for the average person to be able to sort through what's going on. And then besides that, you have the corporate media who, you know, tends to focus on the sensational items like, you know, what is Lindsay Lohan doing today? Is she wearing underwear today or not?
Hopefully not.
And they focus on the horse race in politics instead of what I think are actually, first of all, innovations that people would be really interested in hearing about, and also about the changes that climate scientists and meteorologists and geologists and earth system scientists are seeing all over the world. And they don't really seem to report on that much unless there's a major disaster. And then Anderson Cooper, you know, will fly there and tell us what's going on, and then he'll leave, and then we don't hear anything more about it.
He's covering Whitney
Houston.
So I think
that there's a lot that isn't being covered that we could try to cover that.
We got a couple more seconds before we bring Mark Morano on. And tell me, because, I love solar energy. I'm a big fan of concentrated solar for large-scale generation. Just using simple mirrors to generate electricity makes such common sense to me that if anybody doesn't get that, they're not paying attention. But do you see a lot of these? Hang on a second. Hang on.
Okay.
I'm in the middle of a question. Thank you.
All right.
Do you see a lot of these upstart companies really swimming against the current, trying to even get noticed in mainstream media? Because when you have to do a Green News Report, Desi and Brad, it seems to me that even though all this really cool techie stuff should be fascinating, how come I'm not seeing it on my television, Desi?
Well, I think you're not seeing it on your television because the mainstream corporate media guys really aren't interested in that. They tend to focus these days almost solely on politics. You know, if something happens, it's, well, what's the effect it's going to have on the election? And tech stuff, geek stuff, you know, you do find a couple of shows that will cover it, maybe a little bit on the side. Hey, every once in a while, NBC will have their whole week of green. And, you know, it's I think, a huge aspect of what the country is moving towards. It seems like it's an inevitable thing that our economy can move toward, and I really don't understand myself why that is. In the news organizations where I have worked, they tend to focus on the short term, on the immediate, on what will get the ratings. If there's a car chase, they are all for that. But when it comes to actually going and speaking with, you know, an innovative startup company that is doing great work or has come through, has achieved some sort of major breakthrough, they're just not that interested. And I really don't get that. I do not understand that at all.
Well, I think, you know, you guys will get to – go ahead, Brad, and weigh in with what you needed to there.
No, actually, it was my question because you mentioned Mark Morano. You're talking about Mark Morano, the former producer for Rush Limbaugh?
Yeah, we're going to bring him on here in a second. He's on the phone. He's standing by.
Oh, okay. Great. Good to know. But I wonder why we would – are you a Rush Limbaugh fan, Scott?
Oh, no, I'm a free speech guy.
Oh, okay. Well, me too. All right. Just curious. I wasn't sure if that was the Mark Morano you were talking about, who for years, I guess, produced Rush Limbaugh, I don't find to be particularly credible. But that's okay.
Why don't we wait to talk to him, and you can ask him yourself?
Okay, good.
You did know he was coming on, right?
I did not know he was coming on, but I'm delighted to know he is.
I tweeted it an hour ago.
I'm sorry. I didn't see it, so sorry I missed it, but that's fine.
Well, you made sure that you said, don't forget Desi, in your tweet back to me.
Okay, I believe you. I didn't see it here, but it doesn't matter. I was just wanted to make sure that was the same Mark Morano, so now I'm glad to know that.
Like I said, Brad, I'm a free speech guy. I love hearing arguments from all sides of the fence. That's how I think the majority of people can make up their own mind, regardless of whether someone has a past with making a paycheck in a certain place and suddenly they decide to cross the fence and support a different politician or they change their mind. I'm all about that. It doesn't mean I think Mark is any more right or wrong than you or Desi, but I am about free speech. You do understand that.
I have absolutely no problem with that. I just I didn't know he was coming, and I wanted to make sure that was the same Mark Morano. So we're all on the same page.
All right, good.
That's good. Bring it.
All right, very good. Desi and Brad, stand by. We're going to keep you right on. We're not going on hold with you guys. I just want to make sure we bring Mark on there, over there. Mark, welcome to the program. First of all, let's get a little background on you. Since Brad's got you all figured out, I'd like it out of your mouth if I could.
Yes. I actually was Rush Limbaugh's reporter in Washington for his TV show from 1992 to 1996, covered the Washington political scene for him. These are the days of really pre-global warming. I did do a lot of environmental stuff for him back then. I did Earth Day and animal rights and other things, but global warming really wasn't on the national radar at the time. It was actually the eco scare of the day back in the 90s when I worked for him was the deforestation, Amazon rainforest issue. And if anyone's been keeping up on that issue, the New York Times in 2009 did a feature article that followed my documentary that came out in 2000 that for every acre of rainforest cut, 50 are regenerating. People are leaving the jungles, migrating towards cities. The great eco-scare of the Amazon disappearing has faded away. And they even quoted scientists saying maybe it wasn't such an urgent problem after all. And this followed after, you know, tourists. So we then moved to global warming. And now global warming is in such the tank, both scientifically, politically, and economically, that the UN has announced that come Rio summit in June, that global warming is now but a symptom of a larger problem, sustainability and species extinction. So what's happened now, the head of the UN, Rajendra Pachauri, is actually on record saying it, is they're now throwing global warming under the bus. President Obama acknowledged as much in his State of the Union when he said this.
Hang on, just hang
on. Divided on it. So.
All right, well, you know, you got to remember, guys, we've got three opinions here, and I want everybody to have their say. But we can't get into a shouting match. I understand that. I got to ask you real quick. You just made a quick statement about deforestation was reversing itself because nature can do that. Is there satellite proof? Is there evidence? Is there satellite proof of showing the Amazon is regenerating? I mean, do you have the actual proof behind that?
I mean, I did a whole documentary showing that. And the reforested areas are actually indistinguishable from the original forest in 7 years. And there's no such thing as a virgin forest to begin with because nature changes a forest in very similar ways to man, either through floods and fires, the same way man can do it through logging or other kind of land use. You know, obviously, land use, the settlement is the real danger to forests, not logging. When you settle and obviously put concrete down and housing, then it's not going to come back. But yeah, the New York Times called it the galloping jungle, was actually like the subtitle of the article, meaning it's coming back. It's not to say that we don't care about forests, but the idea that there was a catastrophe coming where people were predicting this, where it showed up in children's films, it was all the big eco scare of the day, similar to the overpopulation scare of the 70s, which faded away. John Lennon made a chump out of Paul Ehrlich and John Holdren. In 1979, he went on with Dick Cavett and mocked and ridiculed overpopulation. And now major environmentalists admit that the new population problem may be underpopulation.
Right.
That was actually an article in Grist magazine. And,
Mark, hello. Mark.
And other people have admitted that
hello.
That failed by the fall by the wayside. And same with
Mark.
Warming now. So now
hello. Mark. Hello. Are you having problems hearing me?
I am. I didn't hear you until you just said hello.
Okay. Here's what we need to do. Make a point and throw it back to me.
Gotcha.
Okay? Because you started going from the Amazon forest to John Lennon in the fucking 70s. Okay?
It's all part of the same.
I got you. I got you. All right. Listen. All right. We've got you. You've made your opening statement. Brad or Desi or a little bit of both. I need you to just kind of. Here's what the argument I want to go with tonight. I don't think there's anybody in this room or anybody on the phone that argues that, you know, we can see icebergs melting. We can see continental shelf that used to be covered with ice. We can see certain things that are showing us the climate is changing. Okay, climate's been changing for 4 billion years on this planet. The question is it man-made? And if it is man-made, Brad, and I'll throw it to you, what is the percentage? Now, you and Desi pick it up from there and just give me a couple statements to go with where you really think is happening. We'll go Brad, then Desi. Go ahead, Brad.
Well, I'll let I'll defer to Desi on the percentage and or Mark, because I'm not a scientist. Okay. I don't believe that Mark is either. As a matter of fact, I'm almost positive he is not. Desi, however, actually bothers to read these reports, and she can give us details. But what I can tell you is, and you and I went back and forth about this on Twitter the other day, is that we don't know the exact percentage. But what we do know is that what man does to to release CO2 into the environment, that then has an echo effect. That it gets worse because of what we do, and then nature sort of picks up the ball from there. So when what we do leads to melting in the Arctic and the release of methane and so forth, as it melts, now we have more carbon in the atmosphere thanks to what man did in the first place. Now, we should be clear with Mark, though. I'm pretty sure that Mark believes that global warming itself, never mind man-made global warming, but global warming itself is a hoax. I believe that that's what you used to work for James Inhofe as well, didn't you, Mark?
Yes, I was at the Environment and Public Works Committee, which Inhofe was the chairman and then ran.
Right. Yeah, and he's famous for saying that global warming is a hoax. So I'm wondering if we can get you on record, because you said that the UN, global warming entirely has been discredited somehow. I'm curious how that came about. But I'm also just curious, you believe that global warming itself, set aside the anthropogenic part for now, you believe that global warming itself is itself a hoax, correct?
No, and actually, if you go back, Inhofe's hoax statement that you're referring to was 2003. He actually says catastrophic in the phrase. You're talking about the predictions of dire death. The Earth has absolutely warmed since the end of the Little Ice Age about 1850. The question is, how much, what caused it, and it's actually gone in cycles. You know, we were actually, studies have shown Greenland warmer in the 1930s and 40s than it currently is. The Arctic goes through 40-year cycles. No, absolutely, we've warmed, but we've actually probably cooled since the Middle Ages. We probably cooled since the Roman warming period around the time of zero AD. So it's just a question of where you start your starting point. And of course, the controversy is we haven't really warmed much, if at all, since 1998, the high point after El Nino.
Desi, I need you to weigh in. Well, hang on, Brad. That's my job. My job is to make sure you do get a word in edgewise, and I could be a complete motherfucking asshole if I need to, but I hope I don't have to. But it's so far, so good. Go ahead, Desi. Go ahead.
It's a little hard to hear. We're a little delayed, I think, in hearing you, so it can be a little difficult.
All right, go ahead.
Not that anybody, I don't think, is intentionally trying to shoot you out there. That's interesting. I'm glad to hear, Mark, that you believe that there is some sort of credibility to the science that shows that the Earth is warming, although I'm really curious about what you have talked about is not at all what the climate science community has talked about, and I'm not a climate science either. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a physicist. All I do is read the science and the scientific evidence. And it seems to be pretty clear, even with all of the little things that you've mentioned, that there's the medieval warming period, the Little Ice Age and all that, they actually have actual scientific, primary scientific literature that addresses those issues. And these scientists have actually looked at all of these things and said, these are not actually what you've said they are, Mark. So I find that very curious. Why do you think that you would have more understanding or a better understanding than the global scientific community?
Well, it's because what you define as a global scientific community is roughly maybe a few hundred at the most, or actually a core group of about 50, affiliated with the United Nations. And these include the same names you hear recycled endlessly, like Michael Mann, Phil Jones, Kevin Trenberth. And it turns out, if you go to scientific conferences like the one they had in Norway, the Geologic Congress in 2008, two-thirds of the presenters and scientists were skeptical and dismissive of the UN IPCC. If you look at groups like the American Meteorological Society or National Academy of Science, takes $5 or $6 million from Congress, turns around and lobbies for man-made global warming. If you look at the actual scientific establishment, the rank-and-file members don't get to vote on these board statements that come out of these groups. And if you look at the actual peer-reviewed evidence, we have studies that show lack of volcanic dust could be responsible for, I believe, up to 40% of the global warming. You add to that the hundreds of other factors, and there's independent studies. I have studies on the solar system. I did a whole thing on my website, Climate Depot, we have all the peer-reviewed studies, we have all the scientists who have dissented, and we have an A to Z guide, which shows that they have egg on their face. Everything that Al Gore talked about in this film from Mount Kilimanjaro is actually gaining ice. Sea level's actually dropping instead of accelerating. Global temperature, high point, 1998. You can go through this at a hilarity. Polar bear numbers are quadruple from where they were 40 years ago. Have to do with hunting bands, not global warming. The models are admitted by the scary predictions of the future are simply don't account for half the variability in nature and are simply emission scenarios. They admit that. These aren't even predictions. So the whole movement was based on speculation, and the ClimateGate emails revealed this was a collusion. It was a campaign by the global warmers affiliated with the UN to suppress other data. And we have all the data. It's in the peer-reviewed literature.
Go ahead, Brad.
No, they didn't show any such thing, as you know, Mark. They showed there was no collusion. You know that there was, I think it was five or six different studies. Desi will know the exact number. There were five or six different studies that found that the climate scientists from these stolen emails, those stolen emails show absolutely nothing that any of those scientists did wrong. It did not discredit their work in any way, shape, or form. I believe you know that. I also believe that you know that your study, your claims that, there are hundreds of international scientists. You wrote a report on this, that dissent about man-made global warming. I think that you know that a lot of those scientists wanted nothing to do with your data, that, what does it say here, 84 of them took industry money. Many of them were television weathermen. 20 of them were economists. 70 had no expertise in climate science whatsoever. But finally, because I didn't get a chance to get back to this before, you said that the New York Times, I'm glad you feel that the New York Times is a credible source of news. I don't personally, but in talking about your documentary in 2000, you're saying that the New York Times came out and backed that up, and yet 2 years later in 2002, the New York Times said that, quote, the Brazilian jungle is disappearing at the rate of more than 6,000 square miles a year, an area the size of Connecticut. So when was the New York Times lying? When they wrote about you, or 2 years later when they said that the rainforest is still disappearing?
The article I referred to in the New York Times was 2009. And the article you're talking about, I did the whole thing in my documentary about these alleged football fields permitted. They don't count regeneration when they do that. And what they do is they end up counting over and over and over. Many times it's the same land because they don't include reforestation. And we actually interviewed the scientists down there, and they laughed. They said we would have an area bigger than the Sahara that was deforested if these football fields a minute were accurate. You can always look at an area and say, oh, you know, pick an area that's been deforested and say if it keeps up at this rate and do all kinds of silly projections. You made a couple of quick allegations that I want to respond to. The scientist report, there was in the single digits of a few scientists, and we actually have it all documented. Anyone who did not want to be on that list was removed, and we actually put the date they were removed. And I believe the number was around 7 scientists. We're now well over 1,000 scientists on that. And it's funny you say, oh, the weathermen, TV weathermen. Well, gee, they belong to the American Meteorological Society. But when the American Meteorological Society's governing board of 24 members comes out and endorses the UN view of warming, everyone says, the American Meteorological Society, there are thousands of members endorse this. No, the rank-and-file members, 75% believe global warming is a hoax, overblown, or aren't concerned about it. They don't even speak for them. So it's funny how you pick and choose. And you talk about expertise. Michael Schlesinger, one of the key scientists of global warming, says 80% of the UN scientists have no expertise in climate. And a lot of them are sociologists, anthropologists, economists. It's the same thing. You're putting your silly scrutiny on one side because you disagree with it. The bottom line is,
but
again,
Mark,
the A to
Mark,
Z report,
Mark,
the real-world data is failing them. That's the main thing we're explaining now.
All right. Go ahead, Desi. Your turn.
Mark, however, there is you mentioned the people that their expertise is climate science. We know that 98% of those whose expertise is climate science.
Stop.
Well,
I can't let you say
Mark,
that.
Mark.
75 anonymous scientists, which no one will tell you their names. It started out with, I think it was 10,000.
Mark!
That study has been so debunked,
Mark,
it's an insult to our listeners for you to even cite that absurd 97, 98 study. That is absurd.
Do me a favor and put him on hold. Put him on hold. Let him listen to this. Hey, Mark, you're hearing me on hold right now, and the only reason I'm talking to you on hold is because you're being a fucking rude motherfucker on my show. That's why you're on hold right now. You had your speech, you let her talk, then you come back. You don't interrupt her. It's not how we do things here. It's called a dangerous conversation, not let's all yell over each other, because that makes for shitty radio. And that I don't do. What we want is your brain, her brain, Brad's brain. And we want, you know, it doesn't mean you have to agree. The personal attacks, be careful with them. Because I got to draw the line sometimes when people start getting into that personal attack on someone. Shoot down their evidence all day, or verify something all day. But don't start bullying my show. Take them off a hold. That's the only way I could talk to you, Mark, because you wouldn't be quiet.
All right.
All
Thank
right.
Thank you very much.
All right. I'm not trying to be a dick. I'm
I
trying
understand.
To run. I'm trying.
Right. Well, that is an insult to your listeners for her to cite that. That study has been, go to Climate Depot, enter 97% or 98%, and it's all broken down.
Okay. Here's another thing. Go to skepticalscience.com, where it's a full database, or probably the most
sure,
comprehensive database, in easy-to-understand, approachable language. They have list all of the very common, most common climate denier arguments, and they do follow along with the evidence that Mark has posted on his website, as well as many of the other skeptic and denier websites. And you can read these studies for yourself. They address all of these different arguments. They say, well, what about this? Is it the sun? Is it cosmic rays? You know, is it warming on Mars? All of that, they can actually read an explanation, read the studies that go with it, read the comments on it as well, and it'll give you a nice overview of the things that we know.
I like this.
That we don't know. Now, as far as the idea of the 98% survey of climate scientists that are actually peer-reviewed and currently publishing, you know, I haven't heard any legitimate debunking of that survey. So, Mark, you say that you've got a legitimate debunking of that survey, that that's not actually what's happening? Great. I look forward. I'm going to go look at it and see what it is that you say. And
yes,
I'm going to go compare
in
it.
In fact, we have global warmers, believers, who ridiculed the study and said it had no business even being cited. And if you go on that, go again, look up
right.
Climate Depot. And you're right, Skeptical Science is a very well-organized website. It's run by John Cook. I have massive debunkings on that on my website as well. And my A to Z report goes through on peer-reviewed literature on each point, Arctic, Antarctic, polar bears, sea level, malaria, cholera, all the different things. And we go through the most recent material. You can read it. Go to the source literature. Go to the scientists. Go to the real-world data. So it is, and it's not only failing them, it's going the opposite way. It's not like their predictions, oh, they're not coming true. In many cases, they're the reverse of what they predicted.
I'm sorry. I don't know that you're right about that. As I understand it, physics is apolitical. Physics is something that doesn't really give a shit what you believe, what I believe, what Scott believes, what any of us believe. As far as I understand it, you know, it's basic physics, the interaction of solar radiation with carbon molecules. So, you know, maybe you've got something different on that. It's my understanding
that
there is basic chemistry, the physical interaction.
And you go to realclimate.com. I actually cite real climate.
Let her finish. Let her finish.
Yeah, Mark, what is it with you? I mean, seriously.
Mark,
I mean,
you're spending more time chastising me than
well,
you know,
maybe if you let her talk, I wouldn't have to chastise you now, would I?
Fair enough.
Desi, finish your thought, Desi.
I'm sorry. Mark is a very talented debater. I will say that. I give that to you, Mark. You are great at it. I just try to read the science. I try to understand the science. And when it comes down to it, I try to find out what the scientists actually say. And, of course, there's disagreement. You know, of course, there's going to be uncertainty. But when we're talking about physical processes, when you add in something to a system that's working just fine, that has its own balance, and you add all of these extra inputs from human activities, you know, how much waste do you think we can pour into the atmosphere before it causes some kind of change, knowing what we know about basic physics, knowing what we know about basic chemistry, knowing what we know about the paleoclimate, knowing what we know about present observations. The global climate models, the computer models, are only one aspect of that evidence. It's a huge, huge issue. I highly encourage everyone to compare the information on Climate Depot and the other denier and skeptic websites, and then compare that to skepticalscience.com, realclimate.com. You know, it's actually run by the actual climate scientists. You try to explain what it is that they do
because they, you know, they have kids too, and I know that they would love to be wrong. They really would love to be wrong, because when you boil this down to its irreducible nugget of information, how much waste can we pour into the atmosphere without it coming back to bite us in the ass?
All right, Desi, well said. Mark, your floor for a couple minutes. By the way, Desi, give me your websites you want people to look to. In other words, the ones you believe in. Give them to me one more time.
Well, the ones that I find the easiest to understand, the most approachable, are skepticalscience.com. And if you want to get a little bit more into the technical, the math, the physics, and all of that, go to realclimate.com. And, of course, you can check all kinds of other sites that discuss the policy. And, of course, we have to distinguish between the science versus the possible potential policy responses, which I think is where most people get hung up. All I care about right now is the science. Let's get the science figured out, and that will send us in the direction of the right policy.
All right, Mark, your floor for a couple minutes. You're at Skeptical Science. I'm sorry, Mark. You're at ClimateDepot.com, correct?
Yes. Just to talk about this, what you said about basic physics, hundreds of factors influence global temperature. And I actually cite realclimate.org, the website she touts, which is a major global warming, actually run by one of them being Michael Mann, UN scientist like that, and Gavin Schmidt, and affiliated with a bunch of other people like Pierre Humbart and all these other scientists that are known as global warmers. And on their website, they actually posted that it's hundreds of factors that make up the global temperature. And the idea that we can, but it's just one thing of CO2, which we're not even the major contributor. Nature's a major emitter of CO2. That we can wag the dog of the climate is now failing in the peer-reviewed literature. And not only is it failing in terms of, I've already mentioned, volcanic studies showing volcanic dust being responsible up to either a third or almost 40% of global warming, studies showing solar impact, studies showing ocean cycle impact in peer-reviewed literature, studies showing clouds having the opposite feedback or failing to have the positive feedback enforcements that have appeared in the peer-reviewed literature. And a lot of this is, of course, some of these studies are controversial, some are not, but you start adding up all the percentages and it leaves very little room for CO2. Yes, CO2 can have a warming effect, but mankind can also have a cooling effect through aerosols. We have in the peer-reviewed literature a recent study showing that we may be responsible for the halt in temperatures since 1998 through our aerosol use through carbon-based fuels, which is essentially blocking out the sun, causing global dimming. This was a big fear in the 1970s. When many were concerned about the coming ice age based on man-made global cooling. So the idea that more CO2 equals a warmer atmosphere isn't that simple is what I'm saying in terms of physics, and that's what the scientists are pointing out. All of these other factors interact, and one of them, Kevin Trembeth, the UN scientist, in the ClimateGate emails admitted he didn't think geoengineering would work because the atmosphere is so complicated. He didn't know what kind of effect it would have because he didn't understand the atmosphere. At the same time, a week later, in 2009, he comes out and says basically that skeptics are ignorant. So in private emails, they admit how complicated this all is. It was done as a team event where they all talk about the effort, the cause, and a grand narrative of man-made global warming, and they threatened editors who tried to publish studies. They got upset when they went to solar conferences where all the scientists poo-pooed CO2, and they were very hostile to them in the writings.
No.
This was a campaign effort by UN scientists. That's what's been going on, and that's why the public has essentially rejected it.
Hang on, Brad.
It's a very small subset.
Okay, Mark, just put the brakes on right there. Desi, stand by. Brad, stand by. Desi, write yourself down what you wanted to say back to what he said, because we're up against a break. We're going to carry you guys through the break. We're not even going to play a song. We're going to go right to commercials. We're going to come right back afterwards. So we're gone for about 4 minutes. His website is climatedepot.com, and Desi recommends either skepticalscience.com or realclimate.com. All three of you have to remember what we're talking about here tonight is always, you know, when you just throw out global warming, please use the phrase man-made global warming, because global warming has been going on and off and on and off and on and off. I mean, if you look at the ice drillings, they'll show you the temperatures and the CO2s kind of follow each other, either lead each other or follow each other. So these cool heat cycles happen. What the argument is man-made global warming a dangerous addition to what is already happening? Because I believe we've only been on this planet for maybe 50,000, 100,000 years, but we have evidence that these temperature cycles happen. So when you come back, always try to remember Desi, Brad, and Mark. And by the way, thank you all for being on the show, but you have to remember, I don't do shout fest. I don't do the shouting down over people. Rush Limbaugh does that. Other people screen their phone callers. Tucker Carlson tried it with me. There are a lot of people that want to yell over each other, and I will not have it on my show. So we'll go to break. We'll come back. Mark, thanks. Desi, your rebuttal when we come back. We're going to go at least another 15, 20 minutes. We'll let you guys make your peace and make your points, and we're coming back with hour number two of Dangerous Conversation on Radio I.O.
Dangerous Conversation returns after this on Bubba Army Radio.
It's all about me. BubbaRaw.com.
Find out everything.
Which normally requires a permission slip from a cardiologist.
Just shut up. That's all I'm saying.
Can't tell you that I'm sorry.
Bubba Raw.
I've got my entire body covered in Neosporin because of it.
Shut up. BubbaRaw.com.
Hey, it's Bubba the Law.